You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
So imagine what it takes to be a TV hit in a place like Afghanistan. On one level, a nation emerging from chaos could probably use some escapist entertainment. The news of three dead American hospital workers this week killed by an Afghan security guard is a sign of how dangerous Afghanistan remains, even as votes are counted in the recent national elections. But entrepreneurs like Saad Mohseni aren't waiting and watching the headlines to decide whether to invest in Afghanistan's future. Mohseni is chairman and chief executive of the Mobi Group, which has found success inside Afghanistan and in the region. Mobi has leveraged its foothold in Kabul and used the Wild West chaos of Afghanistan to create an unregulated media brand that has caught the attention of TV viewers in Iran, tired of clergy-restricted television, looking for fresh voices and stories online and on the air. Saad Mohseni says with all the difficulties in Afghanistan right now, this just might be a golden age for media.
You know, we have a series of transitions to go through. The political transition probably is going to be the single most important one, followed by the military transition as the American forces draw down completely and the Afghans take over. And then we have the economic transition in terms of, you know, with the U.S. and our international allies no longer funding the Afghan economy. How does Afghanistan stand on its own two feet? So we have these transitions. This is the first one, but it's going to be the single most important one. It's going to shape the way the country is going to look like in the next 5 years.
I mean, all those questions relate to your company. Can Mobi Group stand on its own two feet without U.S. funding or USAID or the military security questions being answered by U.S. and NATO forces?
Well, we've already transitioned in the early years, for example, a very large chunk of the advertising money was related to international funding, donor funding. For example, the Ministry of Health, its campaigns were indirectly funded by the international community. But the numbers are less and less. I mean, we're talking about like 20% now. That's somehow the international community is responsible for. The general economy has picked up to the point that, you know, the likes of Coke and Nestle and, you know, all these multinationals, the telecommunications companies, the banks, they're heavy advertisers. But we cannot also ignore the fact that the general economy has been bolstered by the international presence in the country. So we have to be very careful, you know, not to assume that the economy is going to be okay. So we have some challenges ahead.
In 2013, there was certainly a lot of optimism. You spoke about the plans to even expand your media empire into Iran. Mm. A year later, when we're really looking at the votes being counted and the political transition underway in Afghanistan, is it a little bit scarier in 2014 than the dreams that one could dare to dream in 2013?
Well, we already have a channel going into Iran. We're in seven countries now, and Afghanistan represents a shrinking chunk of that pie as a business expands regionally. But, you know, for example, we're investing millions in Afghanistan. Next year, we're building a very large media center just because we've grown the business so quickly. So, yes, we do have expansion plans. The question is, how much do you expand by? Now, the growth year on year is going to slow. But nonetheless, Afghanistan, its economy will continue to grow because we've come off such a low base as in 2001.
Do you sense a hunger on the part of Afghans to really just put the politics and the military issues aside and use Mobi Group's offerings and other entrepreneurs as an escape? Or do they view your success mindful of the politics? In other words, people are basically entering into the future with their eyes open. They're not trying to get away from it all.
You know, I grew up in Australia, and one of the things about Australians is that they're completely, you know, apathetic when it comes to politics.
Right.
They never take their politicians seriously. They ridicule them. In Afghanistan, so in Australia, a lot of people follow politics. They do it. It's a hobby of sorts. They had to make voting compulsory in Australia because otherwise no one would vote. But in a place like Afghanistan, you need to understand what's going on because it impacts your life. Even on a day-to-day basis, you need to find out if there was an attack, because your kids are going to school, your wife works in a different part of the city. But also, Afghans want the basics. They want to be entertained. They want to visit their friends. They want to have fun. They want to play sports. And I gave a talk yesterday. I talked about the changes we've seen. Today, 6 million Afghans have access to the internet from 3 years ago, a population of 30 million people. Now, that's set to grow double or triple in the next few years, of which 60% of the internet-using population use their mobile devices to access the internet. So we've, you know, we're leapfrogging what you went through in terms of infrastructure and cable to the curb and all of that. People are just accessing YouTube and Facebook and Twitter using a mobile device. So the population is changing very, very quickly.
Do those people have faith in the possible winners in this leadership election? They're doctors. They're interchangeable from what I can see and very much associated with the elites of the past. But nevertheless, they're going to be running things.
Yes. I mean, if you look at the candidates, what's impressive about these people is that they're probably better educated than all the other leaders in the region. So it's quite an extraordinary example of very qualified people. But what's also interesting about the elections was that it wasn't just a rejection of the Taliban because people came out and voted when they were told not to. But there was also a rejection of some of the candidates who were more fundamentalists. They basically did very badly.
How does the business success that you've enjoyed and other commercial successes in Afghanistan stack up against the heroin trade and the opium trade, which still thrives throughout this period of transition?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone really tackled the issue of drugs in the country. It was an issue that people said it was too hard. Let's kick this can down the road. I mean, you would see U.S. soldiers going into battle with their guns and everything, going past poppy fields. I mean, no one made an effort to destroy those fields. So it was a secondary problem. But I think at some stage we have to get a lot more serious with drugs. And we may have to, you know, have some radical ideas in terms of potentially legalizing some exports of whether it's marijuana or opiates. And that in itself could help Afghanistan.
Well, the best of luck.
Thank you.
Saad Mohseni is the chairman and chief executive of Mobi Group, Afghanistan's leading media company.
The Takeaway is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.